You know, I'd kind of wondered about Pastor and Kayla, because I kind of understood him to say because he knew I was coming to town, they were leaving town. But maybe that wasn't the case. But anyway, it's good to be here. I wanted to talk to you a little bit about a very familiar subject that we're all acquainted with, and that's the body of Christ. And we all want to be bodybuilders in the body of Christ, and we all want everything that we can get that God can give us, and we want Him to be able to work in our lives and through our lives in a special way. And so that's what I want to talk to us about. I'm going to be talking out of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter today. If you have your Bibles, you can turn there. And I am sorry to say that I'm carrying a New King James, and I see all your Bibles are NIVs, and I apologize for that. My wife reads the NIV every morning, and I generally read the King James or the New King James. So anyway, if you'll pardon me for reading to you from the New King James, we're going to begin in, I'm going to back up one verse from where I intended. I'm going to go back to the 11th verse. And what he's talking about here is Paul writes to the people, you know, this 1 Corinthians is a corrective letter. And he's writing to them about, he started out the book by talking about unity in the body of Christ and not being a follower of people. And you know, remember he talked about Paul and Cephas and Apollos and said, don't follow them, follow Jesus. And so if you'll humor me just a little bit this morning, I always want to kind of get something straight, that it's not about you and it's not about me, this walk, but it's all about Jesus, right? And so our attention needs to be focused on the Son of God and the body of Christ. A lot of times, it's amazing to me how we tend sometimes to deviate from that, and we get caught up. Like recently, I found myself being caught up in a certain amount of depression because of things going on in my country and all, and it takes my attention off of the person of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to do that, so I have to have my wife kind of prod me along, and she's really good at this. She's been doing this ever since I came to the Lord back in 1974, and she's been kind of kicking me along and helping me to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So she reminds me to get my focus back on Jesus Christ. And, you know, our bodies are the temple of Christ, Paul writes. And as the temple of Christ, God wants that temple to be clean, doesn't he? Remember when Jesus came to the temple in the book of John and the second chapter, and he comes to the temple. He's been going there for 30 years with his family. He's seen all the defilement of the temple. And now he comes as the Messiah. And what's he do? He cleans house. And that's what he wants us to do all the time in our personal lives and also in our corporate lives in the body of Christ. To keep the body of Christ, we just sang about holy, holy, holy. You know, there's nothing any more precious than the holiness of God and that he has bestowed by his grace and his love that holiness on you and me. I can't even fathom it. I know me. I mean, there's nothing holy about me. And my flesh is about as carnal as they come. But because of Jesus, because of his sacrifice, we just talked about remembering his body that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us. Because of those things, we have access into the holiness of the Holy of Holies. Remember when Jesus was crucified, that the curtain was torn from top to bottom, about 3/4 inch thick, the historians say, and some say over an inch thick. But however thick it was torn from top to bottom into the Holy of Holies. And we have access into the very presence of God that the Old Testament saints would have loved to have had. They'd have loved to have been able to come other than through the priest once a year. And we have that daily access. And Jesus invites us, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's just a powerful thing. So this morning as we look at this scripture, you'd follow along with me beginning verse 11. And I'll just tell you when I change verses because we probably won't be reading from the same version. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Verse 12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 14. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 16. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Verse 17. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? Verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Verse 20. But now indeed, there are many members, yet one body. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father in heaven, we thank You and praise You for being our Heavenly Father, for putting us in the family of God, for sending Jesus Christ, the supreme sacrifice, the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world, who lived that perfect life, who died on the cross, who rose again, who ascended on high, and who mediates on our behalf, for sending the Holy Spirit to guide and direct and empower and enable us to live that life You've called us to live. Father, we are a blessed people. We pray for our nation that's reeling in division right now. And we pray that somehow that You'd draw us back to You. For Your church that also is caught up in division. Lord, just bind us together in love. Help the body of Christ to look like Jesus, Lord. Thank You. We want that more than anything. And Lord, as we gather here today, we're committed to live those lives You've called us to live, Lord. And we pray that anything that might interfere with that or get in the way, that You'd take care of it. We pray for Pastor Delbert and Kayla and the 11 couples they have with them in the marriage retreat. Lord, may it be an eye-opener. May it be a home healer. May it be an encourager to those that need encouraged, that You'd give them the divine enablement to have a great, great time together, but most of all, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank You. Be with us this morning, Lord. Cover us with your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. The body of Christ, united by the Spirit of God being a uniting Spirit, that as we have the Holy Spirit in our life, that He draws our attention always to Jesus Christ, always to the wonders of God's salvation, that our focus gets off of ourselves. I remember that, how can I see, Keith Green, how can I see when my eyes are on me? And so much of that, so many times, if you're like me, I get introspective. I get to thinking about myself and about the situation around me and all of those things. And the wonderful songwriter wrote, turn your eyes upon Jesus. To turn our eyes back on Him. So, in the body of Christ, it's all about Jesus. And you know, I know that in our community here of Athena that we love, and probably most of you know, we lived on the house on the corner down here at 4th and Van Buren. And that'll always be home to our children, and that'll always be home to us. We live in Adams now, out by Charlie's place, and he keeps me lined out. But serving the Lord Jesus Christ means that I'm part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is not an amputated body with a leg over here and an arm over here and an eyeball over here, but it's a body that's drawn together by the Spirit of God into unity. It's the beautiful thing. It's the evidence of the love of God lived out through you and me individually and corporately. That when people come in contact with us, that we look different than the world looks. That when they see us, they see compassion. When they see us, they see standards, moral standards, ethical standards, biblical standards. Not just living according to the works, but according to the Spirit and the conviction of the Holy Spirit. That we live lives that are transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And that when people come in contact with us, they say, wow, there's something different about that. There's something different about the way they live. There's something different about the way they respond to things. There's integrity. There's honesty. There's morality. That they get a glimpse of Jesus Christ in the body of Christ. So in our training for that, Dee and I started reading through the Bible together out loud in 1985, and we've been doing that ever since. She steals my chapters every once in a while, but I let her do that. You know, supposed to trade off chapters. I noticed this morning she took two in a row again. But, anyway, we just read through the Bible every year, and we take that time to pray. And I have pastors and missionaries that I pray for every single morning, including Pastor Delbert, who, by the way, you have a tremendous pastor. I know that you already know this, but you are so blessed to have a man like Delbert Durfee. You are so blessed to have him in your community and to have him in your church and to have him in your life. And you need to take treasure of a man like that, a man who stands up for what he believes and stands for the Lord Jesus Christ and loves you because he loves Jesus. You just can't get any better than that. But we pray for them. We pray for our wonderful friends down the road here at Athena Baptist. We pray for John over here at Milton Freewater. And we just take time to do that. And you know, I retired, I think. She's been working me awful hard, so I was just kind of using that. I was trying to think about that. I've been working harder than I have worked in a long time. And so, but this retirement thing has been so good because we have time once in a while just to take time out when a need arises and pray together. And it used to be we'd be praying, driving down the road or praying somewhere when we were really busy. And you know, the body of Christ has compassion. That we as the body of Christ come before Jesus Christ saying, oh Lord, take my life and use it for your glory today. Fill me with your Spirit that somehow people don't see me, but they see you in me. That somehow my world's a better place because you have called me and set me apart for service. Our word for today was anointing in our study. And the anointing of God on your individual life. That you are a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ as a believer. That, you know, somehow we've got this thing about clergy and laity. We're all ministers of the gospel. We share this wonderful opportunity and privilege together. That the body of Christ comes together. And all we begin to look like Jesus. And you know, you're the body of Christ. And what's happened with your meetings in the park and your individual ministries around town, that you're doing the very thing that God called you to do. And if you're not, you will. Because the Holy Spirit will prompt you to. So we're born into God's family. You know, in John the 3rd chapter, a guy by the name of Nick at Night came to Jesus. His name was Nicodemus. He was a Pharisee, and I always call him Nick at Night because he slipped in to see Jesus at night. And when he came to see Jesus, he had a question, but he had to do with, Lord, how do you do all these things that you're doing? Nobody could do those aside from being sent by God. And Jesus didn't even consider the question. He said, you know, Nicodemus, if you're going to enter the kingdom of God, you've got to be born again. And so as believers, we know that we have been born again. If we're in the body of Christ, we've been born again. And when that happens, and we're born again, it transforms us. I can tell you that in December 1974, that one alcoholic businessman that didn't know how to be a husband, didn't know how to be a dad, began a transformation process that's continued on to this day. And my precious wife has put up with me for a long time since that time. But she's seen the progress, and she even mentions it once in a while, that she sees progress in my life. And that's what happens. So Christianity differs from other religions because it transforms our lives. Transformation. That Paul writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians, which is not a corrective letter, but a letter of appreciation, he said, hey, that your lives have been transformed, that you're no longer the same, that when Christ came in, that you're a transformed person. And I just love that if anyone's in Christ, he said, he's a new creature or a new creation. And so when you came to Christ and I came to Christ, he began a process of sanctification. That he took our lives and he said, okay, I'm going to change your purpose. I'm going to change your direction. I'm going to change the things going on in your life. Now, I know every once in a while our fleshly side turns back and starts going back down that old road, and the Holy Spirit comes along and says, no, don't do that, and draws us back. And through that process of sanctification, if we're practicing our spiritual exercises, we begin to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how Peter ends his letter, by the way, 2 Peter 3:18. He said after everything else that he writes in that powerful letter, he said, bottom line, grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, if we're going to grow, we have to go through that transformation process, and it's not just a one-time deal. Somehow in the church, we've got this idea, well, just get them saved, and that's it. But that's not it, is it? Because that's why your pastor is such a discipler, because he realizes that it's not just coming to Christ, but it's the growing that takes place after that. I mean, we'd never bring a baby into the world, stick it there in a bassinet, and throw a bottle in its mouth, say, now grow, kid. I mean, we just wouldn't do that, would we? I hope. And that's the way God is with us. For as the body is one and has many members, verses 12 and 13, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, all have been made to drink the one Spirit. It's one holy body that's transformed. And the three things that I wrote down for us to remember is that when we came into relationship with Jesus Christ, he began to change us. And when that change began, it started a lifelong changing process. And as that changing process continued, God reveals our spiritual gifts. So I thought, wow, that sure did happen in my life, and it's still happening in my life. And I couldn't help but think back to a couple that came into our church some years ago. Lonnie and Tammy and Jesse. And Jesse came to church one Sunday morning, and Jesse came to know Jesus Christ. The next Sunday, Jesse brought her mama, Tammy, to church, and Tammy prayed to receive Jesus Christ. And before we'd finished baptizing those two, Tammy came to me and said, need to go see my husband. He's in the hospital and he's dying. He's a non-vet and he was exposed to heavy exposure to Agent Orange. And so I went to the vet's hospital and got in to see Lonnie. And Lonnie told me that he really wasn't interested in spiritual things. But before I left that day, I said, "Can I pray with you, Lonnie?" And he said, "Yeah, I could pray with him." And I prayed with him. And God did a miracle in Lonnie's life. And the next thing I know, he was in church the following Sunday with his wife and daughter, who were both new Christians. And that Sunday, Lonnie became a Christian. Now, why would I tell you all that? Because I want to talk to you about transformation. Lonnie was a drug dealer, and Lonnie was also a drug user. Now, most dealers aren't users, but Lonnie did both. And everybody in town knew Lonnie was the place that you'd pick up drugs. And so the transformation took place that Lonnie got rid of all of his drugs. And not only did he get rid of all his drugs, but he quit using. And the next thing I knew, the people that knew Lonnie were coming to church. And one by one, they were coming to know Jesus Christ. And I was watching and I was thinking, boy, this is really exciting. And I can't tell you how many, but quite a few people came to know Jesus because of Lonnie and Tammy. And I'll never forget, I was doing a funeral one day, and a guy by the name of Raymond, that had been one of Lonnie's buddies that they ran together, came to that funeral, and the guy had overdosed on drugs. And so we were doing the funeral, and it was a pretty sad occasion because, as far as everybody knew, he never did become a Christian and went to hell. And so I did the service, and after the service, Raymond came up and he grabbed hold of me and he hugged me and he said, whatever Lonnie has, that's what I need. I said, "Raymond, you know what that is." "That's not what I want to do." I said, "That's what you've got to do if you want what Lonnie has." Transformation. That God comes into lives and he makes a transformation. And I don't know about you, but I can tell you in my life, when Jesus Christ came, he changed everything, including my perspective on life. And I'm in love with Jesus. I'm a fanatical in love with Jesus, because he's not only my Savior and my Lord, but he's my friend. And I'm part of the family of God, and I don't deserve to be part of the family of God. But he reached down and brought me in. And I'm so thankful for that. We're all together in our diversity. That's something really interesting, because he's talking about all the different gifts. You know, we all have different gifts, and God gives those gifts to us, and we don't deserve any of them. Like, I don't deserve to be able to speak to you about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ today, but by grace and by God's gift, I get to be here. And by Delbert's wonderful friendship, I get to be here. But the gifts are also different. And can you imagine, just stop and think about it. Here we are, all these different gifts. And somehow when the Spirit of God comes and takes those gifts and brings them all together, that the body of Christ looks beautiful. And you think, how can that be? We're so different. But my Bible says in this chapter, it says diversity but unity. And that's what we have. We are diverse. We're different. We're not the same. But yet God, through the Holy Spirit, draws us together, the body of Christ, and suddenly we look like Jesus as a church. And he gets the glory. He gets the honor. That we look to him and we say, "Look what you've done, Jesus. You've done it again." That our differences become strengths when empowered by God's Spirit or the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit comes and takes over. When Jesus in John 14, 15, and 16 told us about the coming of the Holy Spirit, and in Acts 1, 8 talked about the Holy Spirit causing us to be empowered for witnessing. When Jesus gave us the Holy Spirit, it was because he wasn't going to be here any longer. He said, "You know what? You can't do this on your own. You can't pull this thing off of living the life any more than the Old Testament Israel could. You'll fall right flat on your face. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to bring to your remembrance the things that I've said and the things I've taught you." And so the church is empowered by the Holy Spirit. That it's okay to say, "Lord, fill me full of your Holy Spirit, because I know if I'm not full of your Spirit, I'll be full of my carnal, fleshly spirit. So you just feel me full and overflowing. And the shocking thing is that he does that, even though we're not the same. That somehow he unites us and we view things different, we interpret them differently. But, oh God, through his creative power, brings us together as the body of Christ. That we're the family of God. It's by the Spirit of God in us that we come together. I don't know whether you remember when we brought Leon Patillo to Pendleton some years ago. Was anybody at that concert at the Armory? And Leon Patillo was here with Mike Warnke. Well, I was so amazed because we were so excited to have Leon Patillo there, and the power amp blew out. And I don't know whether you realize, but with professional musicians, you don't have a cheap power amp that's going to go bad, that's going to stop the whole concert with over a couple of thousand people there. But it did. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, Leon Patillo said, everybody was panicked. He said, God's doing something different here. And he began sharing about Jesus Christ. And at the end of that time, Alan, you probably remember the throng of people that came that wanted to pray and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because Jesus was being glorified and lifted up. All the prayer that had gone in beforehand that we thought, God, what have you done? Why have you allowed this to happen? That all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to call according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. That God said, I'll bring glory to my name if you'll just get out of the way and let me do it. Isn't that amazing? That sometimes that's exactly what we have to do. Say, God, just use me. I want to get out of your way. Use me. And somehow do something really glorious and wonderful for your name's sake and for your glory. And if you can use me as an instrument, I'm ready, willing, and able. Use me, God. So we're equipped for God's glory. He said, if a foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the smell be? You know, I think about that, and I think how often, and you probably don't see this as much as a pastor sees it, but how often we're doers, we're workers, and so we're the hands. And so we look around and we see other people that aren't the hands, and we begin to say, well, how come they aren't doing these things? Or maybe you're a person who prayer walks and you're the feet. And you say, how come other people aren't doing what I'm doing? Or maybe you're a person who is a visionary and you see everything so clearly that you're able to look ahead. You have that discernment that enables you to see things that other people don't see. And you think, what's the matter with these stupid people? Why can't they see like I see? Or maybe you're one of these people that you just have this ability to pick up the news and you can grab hold of things and you get truths, you hear things and you retain them and all of that, and you think, what's the matter with these people? Why don't they hear? Are they stupid? Or maybe you're the thinker and you're able to think through things that other people don't think through. And you think, what's the matter? And God takes all of those people. He brings them together through the unity of the Holy Spirit. And he makes something beautiful where in diversity they all work together. And you think, how can that be? It's a God thing. It's his body. It's for his sake. He's doing it for his glory. And it's not about you and your gift. Or your gifts, some have so many, I'm always looking and thinking, wow, they got so many gifts. It's not about you. It's all about Jesus. And so we get our eyes off ourselves, and we're not overwhelmed by the circumstances. You remember when Jesus was talking with the disciples, he said, yeah, I'm about to be taken and I'm going to be handed over to the Jews, and they're going to hand me over to the Romans, and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to die and all of these, and you're going to deny me. One of you is going to betray me and all of that. And the disciples are just absolutely stunned by this news. And then Jesus says these words to them. Let not your hearts be troubled. Friends, I don't know where you are today, but it's so easy to look around at the world we live in with the COVID-19 and everything else that's going on and have troubled hearts. But Jesus would say to the body of Christ, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the good news. That's the good news. God is in total control of everything that's going on. It may look out of control. We may look and say, oh, like I've been lamenting, but it's kind of crazy. Because I know my Lord's in control. I know things aren't out of control. I know that there's not going to be one thing that happens that's outside of the realm of his control. That's good news. That's good news. I kind of got off track a little bit. And I don't know. When am I supposed to quit, Alan? What time am I supposed to be out of here? I'm still good, Bob. But years ago, Dwayne Eastman sent me down to, there were two churches, one in Irrigan and one in Hermiston, and sent me down to preach down there, and I'd been down there a couple of times to both those churches. And the one, I remember one, the lady that sat up in about the first or second row there, as soon as I'd get up to preach, she'd go to sleep. So I remember coming back and telling Dwayne, I said, this lady goes to sleep every time I get up to preach. And he said, you should feel really good, because that old saint knows she can trust you with the message of God. But I was going to the Hermiston church, and God, as on my way down there, I told me, I said, God wants me to do the message I'd prepared for Irrigan and Hermiston, but I'm not ready to do that, because the Hermiston church was a lot bigger than the other church, and I didn't have much of a message for the Irrigan church. I'd prepared pretty hard for the other church, but I knew that I was supposed to deliver that message, so I went down, and it was a 1 Thessalonians 5th chapter, and I think it was verse 12 through 15 or something like that, and I got down there, and I got up to preach, and I really didn't have much to say. I read those scriptures and everything, and pretty soon somebody was crying over here, and pretty soon somebody was crying over here. Now, I didn't even have a chance to preach yet. And then somebody stood up and apologized to somebody. And I didn't have a clue what's going on. I'm thinking, what's God doing? What's happening here? But God, through the Holy Spirit, was taking care of his church because he loved it so much. And all I got to do was read a passage of scripture, say a couple of words, and get out of the way so God could work. Well, that was kind of an eye-opener for me, because my wife can tell you, I fought with the problem of being controlling. That's understated. And God has been breaking me of that for, I don't know, close to 50 years now. Because he's the blessed controller of all things. And in the body of Christ, that's an important thing for us to remember. I just cringe when people say, how's your church doing? It's not my church. It's God's church, and I have by grace, the enablement to be the pastor. But it's his church. And she is to be a glorious church without spot or wrinkle, washed in the blood of the Lamb. That she is to be a ministering body of saints that goes into the community, and the community is transformed by the very presence of the church. You guys are doing that. I commend you for your meetings in the park and for the things that you've done. Just, it's incredible. And you've got such a wonderful pastor. I love Delbert. In fact, when he went to Israel with us, I told him that he made the trip for me. Just it was such a blessing to have him along. And I've made, I think, two since then, and I miss him. I tried to get him to go with me last time, and I think if he could have got Kayla to go, he would have gone, but she wasn't ready to go right then. Verses 18 through 20. Now God has set members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? Then indeed, there are many members, yet one body. As diversified members of Christ's body, if we unite, he'll be present. That the Holy Spirit has come to draw the body together, to equip the body, to enable it, to meet the needs of the community, to minister Christ to the community, to surround the community with the love of God. You know, Jesus, before he left the disciples in that 13th chapter of John, he came up with a passage that has just been hammered at me the last couple of maybe years. But Jesus said, a new commandment, not a new suggestion, but a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this all men will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. That the body of Christ comes together in unity, that we tolerate each other's shortcomings, we encourage each other where encouragement is needed, we study with each other where studying time is available, that we reach into others' lives, because this whole thing is built on relationships, a relationship with Jesus Christ, our relationship with each other, that we begin to be filled with the Spirit and look like the body of Christ, that our differences are insignificant, that we overlook people's inabilities to do everything just the way we want them done, that we don't think everybody has to think just like I do, or everybody has to believe just like I do, but the body of Christ comes together in diversity and is united, and somehow in the glorious power of the Holy Spirit, looks like Jesus. Would you turn to anybody that's close to you and say, you look like Jesus? Humor me. You look like Jesus. You look like Jesus. Because that is the goal of the body of Christ, to look like Jesus. That we come and that we allow the Spirit of God to be revealed in us. What a privilege we have. What a blessing we have. What encouragement it is to know that we belong to Him. You know, there's no room for sibling rivalry in the family of God. That we are His children. And, you know, as an old codger, it's hard for me to feature myself as a child, but I am His child. And because of that, I have the privilege of serving Him to the very last breath that I take. Just in closing, just want to share one story with you that touched my heart. It's about the mission in Portland, Union Gospel. And they had a guy that was well known to the Portland City Police, and I'm just going to call him Joe. And Joe was always drunk. Whenever he came to the mission, you know, you had to sit through the service in order to get the food. And Joe would come, and he smelled like alcohol in the street, All of the policemen in town knew Joe. The guy that ran the mission knew Joe. And Joe caused a lot of problems through the years. He broke bottles at different times in front of the mission, just had a terrible temper and everything. And one night, the invitation was given, and Joe came. And the guy that was speaking that day came down and received Joe, and Joe fell into his arms, and he said the stench was just overwhelming. And he said, "I need Jesus. I need Jesus." And so Joe and the speaker knelt down, and Joe prayed to receive Jesus Christ. Joe stayed on at the mission, cleaned up, and immediately was delivered from alcohol that had been his slave driver for years. And he said, "What can I do to help out around here?" They said, "Well, Joe, we don't have much to do." But he said, "Well, your restrooms are terribly dirty." And he said, "Out there in the street in front of the place is terribly dirty." And he began doing daily cleanup in front of the mission and cleaned up the restrooms every single day and had those restrooms at the missions sparkling. And one night, a guy came down the aisle and he knelt down, and the speaker came down to kneel down beside him, and he heard the guy saying, "God, make me like Joe. Make me like Joe." And the guy knelt down beside him and he said, "Friend, do you mean make me like Jesus?" And the man said, "I don't know Jesus, but I know Joe. Lord, make me like Joe." And that is the body of Christ. That people see the transforming power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And they look and they say, "You know what? That is what I need in my life. Make me like Joe." Let's pray. Father, thank you for a chance to be here, to visit, to allow your Holy Spirit to come and to do your work in our individual lives. So Lord, we pray today that you'd be with those that aren't here and that you'd continue to build this church. God, I pray that you'd bless the pastor, bless his wife, watch over his family, protect them. And Lord, I pray for that wonderful retreat they're on today, that the Holy Spirit would come and do marvelous, marvelous work. And Lord, if there's anything in any of our lives that needs to be gone, Lord, that you just take that, that you'd bring glory and honor to your name, that you'd allow us to be vessels of righteousness in a world of darkness. Thank you. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.